The 24th Problem by Janiah Riley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Chapter 15. Fully redacted.
The Era of her Benevolence. Empress Feferi Pyxis. Imperial Culling Center. Prime. Before us.
It had taken Porim 2 nights to get Arania to free up her schedule enough to come to the Culling Center with her so she could sign off on Kankri's release. 2 nights and 2 sleepless days spent thinking about all the many ways that things could go wrong. Even with the heiress's name on the paperwork, the center would defer to the Empress above all else. In a twist of fate that Porim desperately hoped was fortunate, her benevolence had agreed that Kankri's release would be appropriate, with a few conditions put on it. One of them being release into Arania's direct care, something that no one was completely comfortable with. That included Arania at this point, given she'd just returned from the colonies with something big, something no doubt related to whatever the hell Alabaster Palisade was. Arania certainly wasn't going to talk about it. I need a signature of the majority of the caretakers assigned to the resident. That Stelsa woman had met them again at the center and escorted them into her office before shoving a large packet of paperwork in front of Porim and Arania.
Right, Arania said. She was sounding a little bit distracted today. So as of 3, that's a majority.
A false smile from Stelsa. Right you are, very good. She glanced over the sheets of paper, scanning for anything to pick at. Fortunately, an Imperial Science officer and a Jade Blood raised on cavern routine was a combination uniquely good at filling out meaningless paperwork.
Well, it seems everything is in order now. I'll go make sure that Mr. Vantis is all ready to go. He was just packing the last of his things for the trip.
With a little bit of a flourish, Stelsa walked around her desk and disappeared out the door. As soon as she was gone, Porim slouched in the chair and groaned.
I fucking hate this place.
Arania was silent. She'd been uncharacteristically quiet.
Hey, you hear me?
What?
Arania blinked as if she was just waking up.
Yes, I'm sorry. I heard you. I don't much care for this either, but here we are.
Porim raised an eyebrow.
I know how you feel about these places. That one time you told me
I was drunk and upset,
Arania snapped.
These centers are part of Her Benevolence's plan for a kinder world, an improvement on the violence of the past.
That was all Porim could manage at the moment. She wasn't convinced that the violence was in fact in the past.
Arania, we haven't had a chance to talk since you got back on planet. Is that... Would you be able to come by my place soon? There's something I wanted to talk to you about.
She wanted to just tell Arania what she knew and what she suspected, but you never knew who might be listening. It was one thing to badmouth the Culling Centers, given their respective station and who they knew, but to outright talk about things that involved the Empire's secrets, Porim needed Arania somewhere that she knew was safe to talk. Arania recoiled as soon as Porim finished speaking.
I can't be seen at your place, Mariam. You know why? Especially now.
Right, what would the Ministry of Science think if you were visiting a quadrant worker?
I only do pale work, Arania, you know this.
Arania's face turned blue.
Look, there's already rumors that I was begging to sleep with you, so...
Right. That's one of the reasons we're not currently doing that.
I know. I wouldn't ask if it wasn't important.
She shook her head. Porim didn't like the finality of that gesture.
We're not having this conversation right now, Mariam.
She always called her Mariam when she wanted to shut things down. It wasn't a very subtle tell.
Fine.
Porim sighed and sat up straight again.
If you come to your senses, you know where I'll be most nights.
The last syllables had barely died out when there was a click at the door, and Stelsa stepped back in, followed by a very uncomfortable-looking Kankri. He managed a weak smile at Porim.
Hey, Porum. You'll be back soon.
Then his eyes landed on Arania, and the smile died instantly.
Hey, Arania.
He shifted from one foot to the other.
It's nice to see you too.
She tried for a smile, but it looked worn thin.
Evantas, the assistant director here, explain the situation.
Arania put a tiny bit more emphasis on the word assistant than was probably strictly necessary, but it was nice to revel in the small satisfaction that was Stelsa's annoyed look when she picked up on it.
Yes. Director Senziant said I'll be released under the condition that I'd be in your direct care, which is fine, of course. I'm ready to go whenever you both are.
Why did he look scared saying this? The dream he'd had about Arania? Probably just out of sorts from the isolation and uncertainty. But in the back of Porim's mind, she couldn't help but wonder if that was all it was.
Was a bulge sniffer?
Now that they were all safely ensconced in the back of Arania's verticar, she looked a little bit more relieved. There was a rust blood driver up front, but he was paid to be discreet enough for this kind of conversation. Maybe not for the one that Porim really wanted to have with Arania, though. That would have to wait.
If she was any more up her own ass, she'd turn inside out.
Porim smiled. This was a side of Arania that was usually thoroughly hidden behind a dozen impenetrable walls. It seemed like it was even helping Kankri relax a little. He looked less worried about Arania than he had before.
What's wrong with you anyway?
Arania asked, squinting at Kankri.
Getting some weird feelings off
you. Hey, I've specifically told you that using your unique abilities is a major violation of my individual autonomy.
And that was Kankri back in form, too. That made Porim relax a little more, too. She'd rather an out-and-out fight break out in the back of the verticar than see Kankri the same as he'd been in isolation.
I wasn't doing that, I'm not probing. Just feeling what you're putting out there. I can't help it.
Kankri crossed his arms and turned to look out the window.
Well, okay then. And I'm just fine. They put me in isolation because I woke up screaming from a nightmare where you were acting like someone had hollowed you out. You told me I should be afraid of you.
Porim wasn't expecting the look that came over Arania's face, the way that her eyes grew wide and she drew back into herself.
I see,
Arania said, her voice barely more than a whisper. Then her voice stronger.
I'm glad you're out. I know you have to stay in my care, but I'll mostly be at the Ministry of Science working on a big project. You'll have the run of my place, and I've had all your things moved into the spare room. Feel free to order food or whatever.
Of course, delivery will definitely make up for the freedom I've been routinely denied for so long.
There was a bitterness to his voice, but it wasn't necessarily directed at Arania. He knew that the alternatives weren't great.
I don't mean to sound ungrateful, Arania. I do appreciate you and Porim doing this.
He smiled at Porim.
Speaking of, would you care to join us for dinner? It is apparently Arania's treat, handy, given that I had my already limited financial assets frozen when I was placed in involuntary confinement.
She hated what was going to come out of her mouth next, hated to do this to Kankri in particular.
Actually, Arania, I need your driver to drop me off somewhere. I can give you the address.
She pulled out a pen and pad of paper from her purse and scribbled something down, handing it to Arania. A second later, Arania's eyebrows went up in surprise.
Really? This is Lotan.
Porim looked out the window at the city flying by below them, still early in the night, and everything was lit up.
Yes, some business.
Arania didn't look entirely convinced by this, but she didn't say anything else to it. Instead, she handed the slip of paper forward to the driver.
Well, you heard the woman. She needs to make a stop.
Imperial City, Lotan. Before us.
Porim asked to be let out a little way from her real destination, and she waited for the verticar to disappear back into the sky before setting out. This place was familiar to her, maybe not quite her home turf, but familiar enough. Clients and potential came from here. or prowled here looking for a different kind of fulfillment from time to time. Purim might be something of an outsider, but she was the kind of outsider who knew her way around the place. As it happened, she needed to talk to another outsider in much the same situation. She made her way through the streets, dodging huddles of teenagers, mid-evening drunks, and the pools of vomit they sometimes left behind, and the occasional tourist who was stumbling wide-eyed through her attempt to see how the other half lived. After a short walk, she finally got there. The neon signage that advertised drinks and girls. The second half was a lie. Unless you counted the women who frequented the place, and that was due as much to the proprietor as anything else. Stepping through the door, Purim saw that she was working full tilt, serving drinks and chatting with customers, flirting with some and threatening others as the need arose. A cerulean blood who told stories about her exploits in the city and the colonies, and Purim was pretty sure it was all bullshit, but no one cared. Because she was a talented storyteller, and because she was powerfully built and tall and dyed her hair a striking cerulean to match her blood. L-word was nothing if not eye-catching after all. Purim stepped around the throng of women hovering around the bar and settled in. Between her own stature and tattoos that curled all over her arms, shoulders, and chest, she was noticeable enough in her own right. L-word shooed a gaggle of her admirers off and slid over to Purim.
Hey, you hear from me specifically, Mariam?
A bit of a wink and Elward leaned over, flexing the muscles in her arms. Tempting some other time, maybe, but not right now. Too many other things to worry about.
Yes, actually.
She saw Elward's face light up and shook her head. Not like that, sorry.
This is less pleasant. Can we talk privately for a little bit?
That held Elward's attention. She raised a hand and gestured. A second later, a woman wearing an outfit that looked like a deconstruction of the standard Jade Blood Cloister uniform walked up and nodded.
Doc, can you wash the bar and make sure these idiots don't kill themselves for a few minutes?
I had to talk to a friend. That got a look from this new woman.
Not like that assholder's business stuff.
At least right now. Purim rolled her eyes and followed Elward as she walked back through the crowded bar, all the way to a heavy door set in the back. The door was opened and held for her, and Purim stepped through. Behind her, Elward closed and locked the door.
So, you want to clue me in on why you're here?
I wasn't kidding about what I said the last time you were here. If you want to do something red with me, you just gotta ask.
Unless you're exclusive with...
Not with anyone, El, trust me. The offer is tempting, but right now I need you for the job that actually pays your bills, yeah.
Well, you think that this isn't a properly functioning establishment? I'm hurt, Mariam.
A wink. She wasn't the slightest bit insulted, because it was an open secret that Elward's stock in trade had never really been the bar. Her real trade was information, both the purchase and sale of it. At that, she was exceptional, second to none. It kept her comfortable. Most people were her friends in some capacity or other, and those that counted themselves her enemies knew better than to throw themselves at her.
I'm sorry I must have mistaken you for someone incompetent,
Purim responded evenly. All part of the back and forth. She enjoyed Elward's company. The offer was tempting.
Again, I'm hurt.
They were at a second, heavier door, the one that led into Elward's actual office secured by some kind of combination lock. Elward tapped in a long sequence of numbers and waited a second for the lock to click open. Once more, she held the door open for Purim to step through. The room inside was sparsely furnished and plain. Purim suspected that Elward preferred to spend almost all of her time out of it. Still, there was a place for what was here, including a fairly high-end portable terminal sitting at a desk. From the way it was reinforced, it looked like something from the fleet. A present from a grateful client, maybe, or a souvenir of a past life. It was a tool of the trade now, however it had come into her possession. Elward sat down behind the desk and tapped at the terminal. The time it took to start up gave Purim a chance to take a seat in one of the chairs sitting opposite the desk. It didn't look like much, but it was comfortable.
"Is this something I'm going to get context for?"
Elward asked, looking across the desk at Purim and wearing a skeptical expression.
"Also, I usually charge for this kind of service."
"I'll consider a trade in kind if you don't mind. Information or a favor to be redeemed at a future time of your choosing." Elward grinned.
"This is why I like you.
Okay. What do you need?"
Do you have any records on something called Alabaster Palisade? It's some kind of Imperial project. Maybe Ministry of Science, maybe Fleet.
Damn, you jumping right in, huh?
Elward whistled slowly.
Fuck, I respect that.
She began tapping into the terminal, then waited, then frowned.
Nothing in my offline data set. You got something else for me?
Porum thought back to the name that flashed on the Empress's terminal.
What about someone named Linnera Scalby? Possibly employed by the fleet or something, although I doubt it's that obvious.
Some more typing, then another frown from Elward.
She's in there. Says she's a brand new lieutenant in the Ministry of Science, raised in a J-blood cloister, tested into the academy, most recently assigned to the command of Major Arania's circuit.
A smile crept over Elward's face.
You're not just using me to stalk your ex, are you?
You're nuts.
Porum glared daggers at Elward. It's none of your business.
There's nothing unusual in that file at all.
Some of the dates feel a little weird, but there's lots of possible explanations for that.
Why don't you just come out and say what it is you're looking for here?
Call it an advance on the favor you now owe me.
Porum grit her teeth and looked away.
I think she might be part of the Military Intelligence Division.
That got a look of genuine surprise from Elward.
MID? That's a pretty strong claim.
I've got my reasons for making it.
There's really nothing else on her.
Elward looked down at the terminal, then back up at Porum.
I can try to connect to the planetary net. It'll give me more comprehensive data.
The way that she phrased it made it sound like a butt was about to follow, and she wasn't disappointed.
But it'll open me up to attention from the Legislacerators.
Her voice was low, and Porum bristled at the word. The Special Enforcement Division of the Empress herself. Elward shrugged and stretched, cracking her knuckles.
Well, it would, but I'm not stupid enough to actually let things trace back to my real location. Got one of the best net techs in the city working for me to prevent that little eventuality.
Elward leaned over the terminal and began typing quickly. She was a completely different person doing this than she was outside, all the easy flirting gone and replaced by a kind of intensity that was almost uncomfortable to watch. There was another version of her, in another world, that would have been comfortable interrogating suspected traitors and hunting down leaks. Porum was glad she didn't live in that world, glad she didn't know that person.
Huh.
There was a bemused puzzlement in her voice.
Wasn't expecting that.
Wasn't expecting... Instead of responding, Elward swiveled the screen.
Military Intelligence Division. Name, Scalby, Linnera. Bloodcast, Jade. Unit assignment.
Redacted.
Chain of command.
Redacted.
Duty assignment. Alabaster Palisade. Rank, cover. Lieutenant, junior grade. Rank, actual.
Redacted.
Age, cover. 13 sweeps. Age, actual.
Redacted.
Sweeps. Cover time in service. 2 sweeps. Time in service.
Redacted.
Sweeps. Training.
Redacted.
Service record.
Redacted.
Personnel notes.
Redacted.
Scalby is an excellent field officer. She has demonstrated exceptional acuity, both in analytical and field work. She has also demonstrated extreme capability in the areas of...
Redacted.
Recommend fast track for promotion to...
Redacted.
Upon completion of current assignment. Evaluating officer.
Redacted.
What am I looking at?
Porum asked, staring at the wall of blanked-out text. It hurt to look at, a blaze of bright amber pixels that screamed in what they weren't telling her.
Is this normal?
Elward turned the terminal screen back and tapped the keyboard in front of it twice.
Nope, not at all. I might not have access to everything, but this is the official MID file on her.
Which tells me nothing.
Porum could hear the frustration in her own voice. What was she supposed to do when everything was leading to a blank wall? But Elward had a smile on her face. She leaned back in the chair and just sat there grinning at Porum.
What is it?
You're cute when you're frustrated.
You know that?
She glared.
This is serious.
Right, well, trick about this kind of stuff is you gotta learn to read around everything like first off. You know she's actually MID. Elward tapped the screen. This wasn't exactly news.
I knew that already.
You also know she's lying about her rank. Another not surprise, but she's lying about other stuff too. Her age, how long she's been in service. I guess you'd have to bump both those numbers up at least 5 or 6 sweeps. Purim narrowed her eyes, still not surprising, but the point was well taken.
She's good at her job, and she's probably high-ranking, but she's a Jade Blood, which means she's very good at her job.
Yeah, she provides some unique combination of background and experience that MID cares about. One way or the other. Elward paused and tapped a hand on the desk. Hell of a service record, too. It's all redacted. Training, too, which means she was recruited right into MID, or her background is relevant enough that they struck it. Purim let out a frustrated grunt and crossed her arms tightly against her chest. Elward was right that it was something, but it wasn't enough.
Aranya is in danger because of this. Maybe, probably. I don't know.
She paused, then looked down at the floor, at the way her arms were shaking.
All of this feels so big and the picture doesn't even make sense. There's no way to see any of the information. They must have a master file somewhere. Someone must know who this woman is.
Yeah, well, there is a way. Seeing Porm's face light up, Elmer put up a hand. But you're not gonna lie.
Everyone always says that. Why don't you just tell me?
She shook her head.
Okay, you're right.
The only person who would maybe know more, and maybe be willing to actually tell you anything, would be Emporum.
Porim felt her stomach turn. Elward was right, she didn't like it. Cronus Emporas styled himself as the king of the Imperial City Lowdown, the undisputed lord and master of everything and everyone that lived in the shadows of the Empress. He would claim himself a man of the oppressed people and God-savior to them in the same breath, and Purim knew better than to trust someone like that.
I take it from your face this isn't great news for you? Elward asked, her tone soft.
Sorry, but you're jumping up a little bit above my skill set on this one.
Can you arrange a meeting? Purim couldn't believe the words coming out of her mouth, but what choice did she have?
I need to at least talk to him.
If there's a chance he can find something out.
Sure.
Elward paused. Then a too sad smile crept onto her face.
You're too good for a round here circuit, you know that, right?
Not said with a trace of the flirting from before, just a plain statement of fact.
Well, I'm a piece of shit.
But I'm a piece of shit who still cares about at least a couple people.
For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Janiah Riley. The music is Cycles, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voice over, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can also find other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.